Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. This is News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show aliveandkicking at newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire's Lair. Coming up this morning, how to use this stay-at-home time as an opportunity to move from a career that you may have been stuck in to one that you really want. And if you find yourself mindlessly scrolling on your phone, do you think you could live without it for 24 hours? Siobhan O'Hagan recently returned to Ireland from Bali, and in self-isolation, she turned her phone off for a day and night. And she'll tell me how she got on. And quarantine cuisine. What can you throw into your weekly trip to the supermarket to ensure you're keeping interested, excited by food, and of course, healthy? So what kind of health and wellness week did I have? Well, a better one than last week, I must say. Like all of you, I'm still very much missing my family and friends. My parents are cocooning, and with my dad's dementia, it's tough on my mum, especially when we can't help her out or give her a break. And when I call with food, my dad just doesn't understand why I can't come in, have a cup of tea, give him a hug. And he said to me the other day, when I explained again that there's a bad virus going that I really don't want him to catch, he said, "Oh, for God's sake, I could be dead soon." And part of me wants to just agree with him. And while obviously I don't want him to get COVID-19, do not get me wrong, like any of us, that's the biggest fear of all. But I hate in many ways that we're wasting what time we have with him. And as his personality slips away more and more every day, it's tough. But we are all doing what we can as a country. Everyone is the same. We're just protecting our family members. It can just be tough and a challenge for all. Thank you, I must say, so much to so many of you who made contact with us on the show during the week about last week's show featuring the frontline. I was contacted by a good number of frontline workers who said it really gave their morale a boost. So that meant a lot to me. A couple of people said you didn't mention these guys and you didn't mention those. And, you know, all feedback is welcome. I know I didn't cover everyone who is making a difference, but it just gave us an idea and a flavour. And you're right. I think anyone who is working, whether it's on the front line or delivering food, I mean, when you see a supermarket delivery person, I mean, they're just like angels now, aren't they? Or even the post people. Anyone who's in the background keeping things going, a massive thank you from all of us. I do think the sunshine at the moment, it was certainly in Dublin over the week, has helped a lot. Hanging out with the kids is great, doing all the things I always say I'll do more of, like making jigsaws, getting the paints out. We'll be going for lovely walks within our 2 kilometres, of course. And I've been keeping up my exercise routine and the self-care tools that I always said I'd do, the meditation, the visualizations, the yoga. All of those things I am doing tenfold. So I really do feel the benefits of that. And I'm hoping that I'll hang on to them and they'll just become non-negotiables. And the amount that's available online, whether it's through Instagram Live or Zoom classes, I mean, don't get me wrong, I look forward to going back to a gym and seeing real people and doing a workout class. But being able to do it in the comfort of your own room, it's actually pretty handy. There's no childcare. There's no driving. There's no, you know, getting there late and trying to shoehorn it in. You just head up to your bedroom, flick on a yoga class or a workout class. I've been doing all sorts from the comfort of my own home. All I need now is a spin bike. I can't seem to find a spin bike. And it's very hard to get dumbbells. Like, people talk a lot, and I know there's still an issue with obesity and all that side of things, but I think Ireland is a very health conscious nation. Trying to get home workout gear like spin bikes and dumbbells is a tricky thing in this country. So that made me proud to think of all of you working out and minding yourself in your homes, because it's just starting to become the new normal, isn't it? And flying around social media this week was a statement that said along these lines that we keep talking about going back to normal, but normal wasn't working. We don't want to go back to normal. We want to change. We want to come through all of this and be reborn with lessons learned. And I don't know what you think of that notion. Of course, there are practicals that people want back, like returning to full health if you're somebody who's been suffering, seeing your friends and family, like I mentioned earlier. And I really miss making phone calls to people and talking about something that isn't COVID-19 related. But it's hard to have news, isn't it, when it, you know, you're all just stuck at home thinking of COVID-19 and just doing your best. And ultimately, we want to get working and get the economy flowing. But I do think we will have a renewed gratitude for the simple things like hugs, like standing beside someone in a queue. The school run, seeing kids play together on the green will be a really big one. So do you think you'll live differently? I do hope I can keep the lessons that a slowed down life has taught me. I don't want to run around at the rate I was before. However much I enjoy the work I do, I want to try and continue to make time for my kids, my yoga mat, and cook a little bit more, which I have been doing lots of. And based on Instagram feeds, I am not alone because there are shops selling out of flour. There's been much talk of the Corona Stone. So there's a great amount of cooking, baking and eating going on out there. And I think it's great. And Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life is a cookery and home ec teacher. I've been checking out her Instagram. She's been putting up lots of what she calls quarantine cuisine recipes on her page. So I asked her to join me to give a little bit of advice about what we can be turning out from our kitchens. And she's on the phone now. Hello, Fiona.
Hi, Claire. Thanks very much.
How have you been getting on, you and your family, over the past few weeks?
Well, it's been really challenging as it is for everyone, particularly with my own business. We spent a long time building it up and now, you know, you've got to look at taking it all online. And then we've got the kids with the homeschooling and trying to keep the peace and do the meals that everyone likes. It has really been very challenging, but I'm getting through there.
Yeah, like everybody, one day at a time and just getting a bit of perspective as who has it worse. But yeah, it's a challenge for everyone. And one of the silver linings I have found is having the time that I've always wanted to have to really think about what meals I'm preparing and taking the time and having the time to prepare them. I'm not running in after the school run and swimming and trying to stick it on and whatever else I juggle. So that's been a positive thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm really seeing that people have the time now to try out the recipes and maybe have it as a bit of quality time together in the kitchen and upskill the kids and everything. Even for me now, I've taken it on most days and I'm upskilling my 14-year-old in different areas of cooking because he's really interested in that. So, yeah, it has been great people having time to actually do the cooking now.
Yeah, I've helpers, but I need kids in the double digits to actually cook the full meal. I can't wait for that. I've seen a lot of that online. And I suppose one of the challenges is that we're limiting the amount of time that we spend going to the shops. You go for emergencies, I think essentials only. I mean, I braved the supermarket for the first time this week. I'd been doing home deliveries up until it became apparent that those slots should be left for the vulnerable and the elderly. So it was the first time I went. So because we're limiting our time, it can be challenging to make sure you're getting enough of everything and planning what you're going to cook.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I would often go and shop for one cookery demo. So I will be doing six different meals in a cookery demo and I do that shop in 40 minutes. So I am well used to planning out the shopping. But if you like, I've kind of got seven different tips that I'd like to give to people about coordinating that shopping list at the moment to make that trip easier.
Okay, go ahead.
Great. And at the moment as well, I'm shopping for parents and in-laws and from a top up for my sister-in-law. So I kind of have about four or five lists that I get together. But the first thing I think most important is to get the input or the buy-in from everyone in the family. So if people have different tastes, and I find people complain about the food all the time, it's really very disheartening if you've made the food. So I will get people to have a buy-in and say, okay, well, Monday's my meal, I would really like spaghetti bolognese. Okay, Tuesday's my meal, I would really like fish. And get everyone to agree, okay, this is what we're looking at for the week. I think that's number one.
So Fiona, what if they're saying, Monday's my day, I'd like chicken nuggets. Tuesday's my day, I'd like pizza. I mean, yours are saying fish. What household do you live in?
Well, no, that's probably the husband saying the fish, sorry. But I'll make the chicken nuggets from scratch and we'll make the pizza from scratch on each of their days. But then I'll also be saying, okay, well, we still need to have our two portions of fish a week. And actually, the really interesting thing at the moment is I get everyone to vote as we eat. And the 10 out of 10 meal for me at the moment is Thai fish cakes. I do serve it with potato croquettes. Maybe that's why they like it. But the Thai fish cakes are the number one hit at the moment. So we're having that once a week.
Okay.
Which I was quite surprised with.
Everyone gives a bit of feedback. And you're right, because there's nothing more disheartening. Mine moan every single time I put something in front of them. So if they've got a buy-in, as you say, and they've picked a day, that's going to stop that because they just have to shut up and wait for their day.
Exactly. I find that helps because it's really disheartening if you're doing that and, you know, people are complaining. So that'll be number one. Number two for the cook is choose a dish that you can repurpose. So it can either make extra, it's tomorrow's lunch. Make it extra, it can be repurposed into something else. So if it's a bolognese today, it could be made into a lasagna tomorrow. If you're making a curry, make extra so it can be frozen and kept for another day. So that if you don't particularly like cooking fresh every day, you can easily double up on one day and it's used again for another time.
Yeah, I think we've never been so thrifty. I mean, even though we're not spending money on going out, obviously, and socialising and all that side of things, I've been way more clever with how I'm spending my money on food and what I'm using up from the kitchen.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a great time to play about with it all and try and figure out, just see, we're not wasting much food.
Right. So ask everyone for a buy-in. Make sure you can repurpose it. Make sure there's no waste.
Next one is to organize your shopping list according to your supermarket. So I have a shopping list, and on the right hand side, I will do all my fruit and veg. And that's where I first hit in my supermarket. Then I will have a section for the fridge and freezer. I will have another section for the, you know, say cleaning products, household products, another section for the dried food. And then I have a little box in the middle, maybe for a specialist if there was a baker or a fishmonger or something that I wanted to do, so that when I go through the shop, I get what I need and I get out.
Okay, because I never usually write lists, and I have been. I did for my last trip because I always online shop and you can see how much it's going to be and you can kind of dip in and out of it. So this is the first time I've ever done a written list, and things were just randomly coming to me over 3 days and I was writing them down. And you're right, I was way over in the freezer aisle and I was walking back over to get the butternut squash that I didn't get. And ultimately you forget things. So yeah, section out your list. We have the time on our hands to do this.
And what I do is I've got Google Home in the kitchen. So if we run out of anything or someone wants something, they just ask Google to put it on the shopping list. And then I will write it out from there or from the recipes into the different categories so that I can get in and out as quick as possible.
Okay, good stuff. And what then are your go-to recipes? What are you putting into the trolley? Because I think, you know, this obviously has a health and wellness focus and we have to eat food and to live, obviously. But at this time, I think it's really important that we are eating nutritious food and keeping ourselves healthy and well and keeping our immune systems up.
Yeah, well, number one would be my dal, red lentil dal. And that works really well because it's dried lentils. They're good slow release of energy. And then you've got tomatoes and things, tinned tomatoes in with it. So you can cook, you can have gone shopping weeks ago and still be able to use that. You can use that for lunch or for dinner, and you can add in meat and other vegetables if you want, and it freezes really well. That's my 100% number one dish to go to.
Okay, good stuff. I mean, you always encourage cooking things from scratch, and these days we have the time to stick on a podcast. That's what I sort of do. Even I FaceTime my mum while I'm cooking because you can be pottering and clattering and banging around the place and just get stuck in. Just take the time. It pays off.
Yeah, definitely. And it's easier than people think.
So let's talk through then some of the meals of the day, because you do get stuck in a rut of the very same meals day in, day out. So do you have a couple of suggestions for breakfasts?
I do. And I'd also say only try one new recipe a week so you're not overloaded with everything. For breakfast, I would say omelets is what I would do a lot of, and loads of different mixtures with the omelets. And then I tend to serve it with kimchi and sourdough toast. Or I've got pancakes, banana and blueberry pancakes. So they are made with oats, so they're low GI. And you can make them, they are egg-free, but you can also make them dairy-free. So it actually ticks the box for a lot of people if, you know, you're only making one dish for the whole family, or overnight oats. And there's loads of variety there. So they'd be the three breakfasts that I would suggest.
Now, lunch in lockdown, as you rather snazzily call it on social media, this is the one I find really hard to be adventurous with, because soup and sandwich just keeps coming up again and again and again. So how can you be smarter at lunchtime?
Okay, so if I haven't had the omelette, if we haven't had eggs for breakfast, I will also do an omelette at lunchtime. And that's great if you've loads of people living in the same house, particularly adults and working at different times. Let them go make their own omelette. But otherwise, things like quesadillas are great. So you just basically get a wrap and you put in cheese, onion, ham, whatever you want, and you toast it up and you can dip that into guacamole or sour cream or salsa, or just have it on its own. That's a really good one.
Yeah, kids love them.
Yeah, they do. And the other thing is fritters. So I used to make it a lot when I was living in Australia. So you can mix up different veg. So it'd even be sweet corn, some pureed, some normal corn, and then you mix it in with some eggs, a little bit of flour to thicken it up, and you just fry those off. Great if you're having a little picnic in the garden or something. Fritters are great. A lot of the time, leftovers. So when I'm planning something, if I know someone likes it, so if we did chili the other night and we've got rice and chili left over, the kids love to make up a burrito with the wrap the next day. And then a treat, I'll use, often do a sausage roll or something like that, or sushi.
I want to be stuck in your house, Fiona, by the sounds of things. I did mention in the introduction the Corona stone that people keep talking about. And I did hear somebody say this week, we need to flatten the curve, not fatten our curves. I don't know who is baking these up, but it needs to stop. But there is a lot of extra food around. And like Christmas, when we are away from work a little bit more and home a little bit more, you do tend to just think about food a lot more and reach for snacks a lot more. So how do you make sure you're reaching for the right thing?
First of all, you have to have the right snacks to hand. So power bars are, I give them away at my demos every single time in the goodie bag. Absolutely fantastic nutrition. It's nuts and seeds bound together with cocoa butter and raw Irish honey. And they're in small portions and they're in the fridge. So if you want a snack, go and have one of those is what I would suggest. Or something like toasted seeds or nuts or natural yogurt with berries. So keep the chocolates and the biscuits away. Have a healthy snack that you can grab when you do get hungry. But perhaps think of things like drink a glass of water first of all. And if you're still hungry afterwards, then go for your snack. Or try reducing your portion size. Possibly you're less active at the moment. So if you just have the same meal, but you know, three quarters of what you used to have, that's a good place to start. Or the third one would be the intermittent fasting, which I know a lot of people say so that's where you would fast for about 14 hours overnight. And a lot of people find it challenging when they're working in the office because of the times they need in and their times at home to do their cooking. But now if everybody's home, it's going to be much easier. So the idea is you'd finish your meal by 7 p.m. and then you'd have your breakfast at 9 a.m. Those type of things can help.
Yeah. And once you've just sort of said to yourself, I'm not going to snack in the evening, you know, that's I'm just going to give my system a break. You just break the cycle, you know, three, four, 5 days in that the habit is ingrained into you a little bit more. And I do think if you're eating well, like some of the recipes that you've suggested, like you're having a good breakfast, a good lunch, you're not as hungry because you've got those slow release carbohydrates. Your body is satisfied. Whereas if you're just endlessly grazing and not giving your body the right nutrition, well, then it can be a little bit harder.
Yeah. One tip with the kids is I make a fruit plate when they're watching TV and it seems so much more attractive than a piece of fruit. So that is the mindless eating, but it's just getting extra fruit and veg into them. And I'll just put up, you know, a few grapes, a few bits of apple, blueberries, whatever I have onto a plate and they will munch away. So that's a good one of getting the extra fruit and veg into the kids.
Yeah, I see a lot of other parents online doing all kinds of smiley faces with their fruit. I saw Stacey Solomon make fish out of mandarin slices. They're way away from where I am. But yes, kids do love fruit and just hand it to them and they will eat it. But of course, we have to make room for a bit of balance in the diet and a little bit of fun. So you have some amazing recipes up on your Instagram page to get baking with the kids, to maybe use up some of the extra chocolate that's going to be around from the Easter eggs. And, you know, all that's important as well, having the sweet treats and having a bit of fun.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the ones I was making with my 9-year-old was little choux pastry chicks. So the idea is, it's almost like homeschooling. You're doing the maths, the science and the English all in the one because you're weighing up all of the ingredients, you're making the pastry, you're reading the recipe and then the personal development. So making choux pastry, it's easier than you think. It can be made just straight away in the saucepan. The recipe is there. If you don't have a piping bag, don't worry about it. You can use a freezer bag, pop it all in and cut the end off. And that's your new piping bag. And if you don't even have that, you can just use some soup spoons and dip them in hot water and you can shape them into these little chicks. And then you bake them. You fill them with cream and you can decorate little faces on them, little bits of chocolate or whatever you have from your Easter eggs that you can use. And then to use them up, to use up the leftover Easter eggs, you can melt down chocolate and drizzle it over it and you've got easy profiteroles as well, all cooked from scratch.
Yeah, and kids love getting involved with stuff like that and they do look really cute, but they're not. I mean, back in the 80s when I was a kid, my mum used to be having dinner parties on a regular basis and she used to make choux swans and they're a lot more intricate than the little chicks can be more. Yours aren't now, Fiona, but they can be a bit more blob-like. And so that's a little bit easier for you and the kids.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be terribly artistic. I'd be organized, but I'm not very artistic. So, you know, you can just put it into a little blob, just cook it up and off you go. And it's just, it's a fun activity and you get to reap the benefits afterwards. And they'll keep in the fridge for 2 or 3 days.
And how are you getting on with moving the business online? Have you found that people that would have come to your cookery demos and your cookery courses are into moving online and you're getting that take up?
Well, from the personal side of things, where people will come to the 3-hour demos, that's, you know, the market isn't really there for that. I'm just providing content for them. So I'm just constantly giving out videos and recipes to help those guys. But with the corporate sector in the workplace wellness, yes, I am doing calls on Zoom. So we'd schedule a 45-minute or an hour demo where I cook everything from scratch and then it's recorded and then they can watch it again later. The only thing, they don't get to smell and taste it. But what I did with the demo the other day is when I made a big tray of those power bars, I've got 2 friends who are working in emergency departments. So I'm giving them all of the power bars. So I'm repurposing what we've made to the good cause and the front line.
Amazing. Good stuff all around. Well, if you want to find out more, you'll find Fiona on Instagram, Fiona's Food for Life. Fiona Staunton, thank you very, very much.
Thanks a million, Claire.
Coming up, if you're worried about your job or have suffered job loss due to COVID-19, my next guest will tell you how you can perhaps use this stay-at-home time to look at something new.
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, the big focus at the moment is, of course, on health. Our health is our wealth, and everybody gets that. But there are also some financial implications of COVID-19 and the pause situation that many might find themselves in their work is going to cause difficulties down the line and is understandably causing some stress and anxiety. Now, if your work has been affected and you're worrying about the future, my next guest says now is an opportunity to look at your working life and to make any changes you might seem necessary, because we've got time to look at this that we never usually have. Well, Angela Burke is from the integrativecoach.ie and she's on the phone now. Hello, Angela.
Hi, Claire. Thanks a million for having me.
How have you been finding the last little while, Angela?
Definitely an adjustment like everyone else. I think the big thing we're all kind of probably feeling is that there's no kind of deadline. I think we're definitely in that period of uncertainty where we're not exactly how sure it's going to last, and therefore, you know, how much change do we put in place. But I definitely think as the weeks go on, we're definitely adjusting and I'm adjusting, and it's actually lovely looking up as much sadness and worry that there is out there at the moment. It's great also to see that so many businesses are able to adjust and so many people are adjusting their lives as well. So yeah, adjusting is definitely the word.
Yes, definitely. And we are brilliant as a human race for adapting to new situations. And there seem to be very few industries that haven't been affected by this lockdown. And work is fairly essential. I mean, it's great that we're learning about life slowed down and what's important, but we will need to essentially get back to work in a little while when it's right. For many, they work doing something they love, so it's understandable that many are worried about what the future might hold for their career. But you think that people should take time to look at the time we have to think as an opportunity to look at our working life and to consider making some changes.
Yeah, definitely. If there's one thing I've learned from working with people one-on-one and their careers, is that it is a full-time job while working, while trying to manage a social life, family life, and while to figure out what is next for me. And it's very hard to make the right decision when you have all of that going on. So I think now, at least when, you know, the social life is put on hold, work might be a little bit quieter than usual, depending on your circumstances. We just have a lot more time to think. And I do think we're thinking clearer. So now, in one way, is actually the perfect time to really just take a step back and figure out, well, what is next for me? And even before what is next for me, am I enjoying what I'm doing now? And how am I actually feeling about my career to date?
Yeah, I mean, if people are, as you say, in full health and find themselves with time on their hands, there'll be people laughing at the idea of having time on their hands because people are working from home, people have small kids, different setups, and they're juggling a lot. But there are some who could use this time. You have a four-step process. What is that?
Yeah, I do. So it's a four-step process. It's very practical. I'm all about the practicality. So it's literally, I guess, the four stages to going from kind of confused or maybe even not thinking about your future career and what the change might be, to actually figuring out after the four stages, okay, I have more of an idea of why I might want to change, what that change might be, and how I'm going to address it. Within each of the stages, there's a few questions that you can ask yourself, because I think that's what we struggle with most. It's fair enough me talking you through the four stages now, but you need practical questions that you can ask yourself that will take you along that. So I guess the first thing, and it's very simple, why do you want to change? So before you actually go through the process of even thinking about a career change and making it happen, you need to know why you want that change. Because if you can't identify, you know, what you're missing, what's going wrong, what you're not happy with, then the chances are you're going to kind of end up back at the starting point, or in some cases jump from, as my dad would say, jump from the frying pan to the fire. So I think the question people need to be asking themselves within this stage is, you know, what am I moving away from? What am I not happy with in my current situation? What am I missing? And then there's one really important question, which I see a lot, and that's kind of where my name comes from, the integrative coach. Your life and your career is integrated. They're not two separate things. But, you know, when did I become dissatisfied? When did I become demotivated? And is it definitely stemming from my professional life? Or maybe is there something that has happened in my personal life that therefore then I took a different attitude to work? So I think there are things you need to figure out first. And once you know what it is that you're potentially wanting to move away from, what you're trying to change, that will lead you in the right direction then. So that's the first stage. Moving on to the second stage then is, okay, so I know why I want to change. At this stage in my life, what's important to me when choosing that next job or that next career, that next stage of the career? If you know, you know, there's four or five things that I really need to do, or really need, that can eliminate some options for you, which is a good thing. So, and I suppose what I always say to people is, again, going back to that practicality, but it doesn't always mean that big jump. It doesn't always mean, you know, you need to change from being a salesperson to being an astronaut, right? Like, what I would say to people is, once you identify what you need, can you have a conversation in your current work environment? Can you have a conversation with your manager to see, is there any of that that you can gain in your current environment? So moving on
people,
to stage.
People could be listening, Angela, and saying, I mean, this is ridiculous. Why are they talking about this? We're about to go into a massive global recession. Do they realise what's going on? There's not going to be any jobs out there. We're all taking pay cuts. There's no money there. Do we have to be all doom and gloom about that? Do you think there will still be green shoots and jobs out there to be had? Is there still room to move?
I think there is. I think, like, if we're realistic about it, we've definitely been in a very kind of candidate centric market up until now. The candidate has a lot of power, a lot of room to negotiate. If I look at moving forward, naturally, we can see already some jobs have definitely been cut. Some companies are slowing down their hiring. There are still companies hiring. I had a little look online. There are still companies hiring. But I do think if we think of, you know, we're all waiting to see what kind of impact this will have. I think the candidate will start to have less power, and there'll probably be less bargaining power there. But I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I think there definitely is some doom and gloom there. And I definitely think we probably haven't seen the full economical impact yet. But from what I can see online, some companies are still hiring. But yes, we absolutely need to keep in mind that we're probably shifting now from the stage that we were at, where the candidate had more bargaining power, to maybe an environment where there's less of that bargaining power.
But there are industries that haven't been affected. There are industries that are booming through it. And it just depends on where you fit. So stage one, you ask yourself, why do I want to change? Stage two, what do I need? Then what else do you need to do?
So stage three then, we're looking at, so we've been looking at kind of you know, what we need and why we want to change. Then stage three, we need to kind of look at like, well, what do we have in our toolkit, as I call it, to help us actually choose what's next for us and transition into that. So you're really looking at, okay, what current experience do I have? What qualifications do I have? What's my skill set? Something people often forget about is knowledge. So you might be missing, you know, a certain experience or a certain skill set, but maybe you have a lot of knowledge about that industry that's going to bridge the gap. Connections is another one we forget, particularly in Ireland. We're so afraid to ask for help. Connections, what kind of connections do you have that could help you? And what are you interested in? And then we start to look at, okay, so that's our current kind of toolkit, if you will. What's in the desired toolkit? So what kind of skills would you like to add? You know, what would you like to upskill in this current environment?
There is a huge movement out there for mentorship at the moment, especially because you mm-hmm. have everybody staying at home across all kinds of industries. I saw a company set up oneaday.ie and it's like a platform that enables businesses and individuals to help each other for free, and they're helping one person a day. So it's across all sorts of industries, giving all kinds of advice. And I think people have more time on their hands, and you always think, oh, I wouldn't bother that person, or I wouldn't. And we've a lot of more access to people now through social media to just say, could you answer a couple of my questions? Would you have 5 minutes to answer this email, or whatever it is? It's worth trying. It's worth putting yourself out there a little bit, I think, and seeing.
Absolutely. And if you don't, sometimes people, the funny thing I find is, if you think of your five best pals, you probably know what their job title is, but you actually don't have a clue what they do when they get in that front door of their office that morning. So now is the time to actually find out what people do, because that's half the battle here is, and that's the next stage really, is trying to get that career inspiration. The other thing, just to mention a nice practical tip for anyone who actually maybe doesn't have someone in their network that might be able to help them, LinkedIn is great. Like, if you have a little look on LinkedIn, it's not just for finding jobs or for setting up your profile, but actually you can search people on LinkedIn, people that are maybe doing that job that you might want to do, and reach out to them, ask them if they'll have a chat. You know, if you reach out to 10 people, wouldn't, you know, if five or six come back, isn't that great? So just a little a practical tip there. So moving on then to stage four, and that's where, you know, we've looked at why we want to change, we looked at what we need from our career, we've looked at what we have in terms of our skills or experience to help us transition, and now we're going to get that career inspiration in terms of like actually choosing the job or the career. And like I said before here, I would say start from where you are and work outwards. So just some options for some people to think about, you know, could you do the same job in the same company, but like I said, different conditions? So having a conversation with your manager to see what tweaks you can make to get those needs in place. Could you look at the same company but do a different job? It's always easier to move within your company than to move externally. So can you have a conversation now with your manager, with different departments? And even can you, if you can't outright get a move right now, could you offer your help? Could you offer your help on a project for a different team, for example, to get you that little bit of exposure and opening up your network there? Looking beyond then, could you do the same job but in a different industry? So an example I like to use here is sometimes, just for example, if you were a salesperson and you've actually always enjoyed being a salesperson, you're good at it, but you've just found maybe in the last year or two, 6 months, whatever it is, you're just demotivated, your heart isn't in it, and you're finding it's a lot more effort than usual. Maybe it's a case that you're just not passionate about what you're selling anymore, or maybe you don't believe in what you're selling. So it's not a case that you have to change jobs completely, but maybe you could do that same job but in a different company or a different industry that's more aligned with kind of who you are and what you actually are passionate about selling.
You can make a smaller move while still making the most of the skill set that you have. Now, I want to be sensitive. I know there's going to be people listening who put their heart and soul and long working hours into setting up businesses that now they're worried about, and ultimately, I hope that they can pick up where they left off and, you know, pick up the pieces and keep going. But there are people who stay stuck in jobs because of the monthly salary, because of the comfort zone. And it's people like that who may use this time to look at something else, look at what they have, mm-hmm. as you say, in their toolkit, and consider moving. You have some great online workshops coming up for people to take part in. I would recommend you go and check out Angela's website, integrativecoach.ie, or she's The Integrative Coach on Instagram. Angela Burke, thank you very, very much for coming on.
Thanks, Emil Clare. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, could you go 24 hours without picking up your mobile phone? Siobhan O'Hagan did. She's in self-isolation and she's giving phone-free living the thumbs up.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. You can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, you might recall a few months back, online fitness coach Siobhan O'Hagan was my guest on the show to talk about, among other things, chasing the life of your dreams and how she had moved her business online and her life to Bali, where she seemed to spend days on her laptop poolside coaching her clients and followers. Well, when COVID-19 reached global pandemic stage, Siobhan made the decision to return home to Dublin, where she's in self-isolation and she is on the phone now. Hey, Siobhan, how are you?
Hi, Claire. How are you?
So life has changed.
Small technicality there. I'm actually in Kildare at the moment now.
I see. So you just made the decision, or did you make the decision, or were you advised by the consulate to leave Bali?
Well, what really happened, what changed for me, was watching Leo Varadkar's speech on Paddy's Day. And it kind of made me realise how serious it was and how not serious everyone in Bali was taking it, or not everyone, but the people around me. And it made me feel quite alone. A lot of people I'd known were flying and booking flights already. One of the main things that keeping me there was that I had recently fostered two puppies, and I just was like, I can't just leave them. So I was playing with what was going on in my head, and I basically spoke to the girl who originally fostered the puppies, and she said she could take them back. So then I started looking at flights, and I realised then that, you know, there was a bit of a panic to get off the island because the options are very few, and I had to buy, the only flight I could get that week was, you know, a couple of days away, and it was in first class, and the money was insane. But I think because of the supply and demand, I realised that, you know, it kind of created a bit more of a panic within myself, and I booked the flight. And even though in those, I think it was 3 or 4 days before I could actually go. And I was so glad I booked the flight then, because it just became a lot more panicky around. I felt a lot more alone in the villa. What I was most worried about was kind of civil unrest, as the government weren't really supporting people. You know, the Indonesian government they had come out that they had been hiding cases and not reporting properly. And that made me realise how much I just wanted to feel safe. And I actually, it wasn't even that I wanted to come home to Ireland to be with my family. It felt like the safest place to be.
It's funny that pull home. I mean, I do hear a lot of people talking about how now one of the lessons we should learn about the global pandemic is that we should start operating a bit more like one world, not all separate countries pulling at each other, that we should all kind of join together a little bit more.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't even thought of that concept.
But there is a sort of a pull. I've heard a lot of people talking about China, for example, and the backlash against China and the negativity towards China, when actually there's a lot of positive coming from China, where they're researching the debts that they had and sending that information out worldwide, the supplies they're sending out worldwide. So it's sort of in that context that people have been saying, look, we need to be coming together, not tearing each other apart. But you do feel a pull home. I mean, it doesn't get more Irish than seeing the Taoiseach talk on Paddy's Day about keeping your residents safe.
Emotional wreck. Yeah. And that, to be honest, when I was looking at flights, and, you know, I kind of just knew that I needed to get off the island, because I just felt like if I ran out of food and you know, if anything happened, because I knew that there was only like 35 isolation beds in Bali. And I kind of was like, right, I just need to go somewhere. And a lot of the countries nearby had closed their borders already, so it wasn't that I could go mainland anywhere else. And I even looked at, you know, flights to the UK, and then, but like, even from what I understood, the UK weren't taking it as serious as Ireland at the time. And I just said, right, I'll just pay the money, get the flight to Ireland, and at least I'll be close enough to my family. See, I knew I wouldn't be going near my family, because my mom was high risk. you know, I spoke to my friend in Thailand, and we were having the same conversation back and forth. You know, I was like, no, I'm not going. I'm staying here. And she was the same. And then I was like, I'm going to go. And she was like, yeah, me too. So, yeah.
And in some ways it's nearly, I don't know, none of it's easy, but it's all a challenge. Sometimes it's nearly easier not to have the ability to even call to your parents and stand on the front step or stand and look at them through a window to say, I can't go because you're in a different country. But you did return home. Coming through airports, all of that, I'm sure it's a scary process. But you're holed up in Kildare and you just want to ensure, I suppose, that you're symptom free.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't concerned about having the virus coming home. Obviously followed all the quarantine rules that were put in place for anyone flying into Ireland. But I actually felt like I had more of a chance of getting it in Ireland from anything, you know, like obviously I wasn't going near anyone, but just we were staying in an apartment block. So anything could happen, you know, from door handles to. So I've kind of been acting like I could pick it up at any stage. I wasn't really just trying to get past those 2 weeks. Yeah. And like I passed the 2 weeks because that was the rules, but like I felt more likely to get it while I was in Ireland rather than while I was in Bali. And I don't know if that's just because they weren't reporting cases in Bali. I don't feel like I'm over the 2 week period or anything like that. I don't think it actually made much of a difference in my own head. I'm kind of acting like I could pick it up from anything.
I think we all sort of feel that way.
Yeah, the only difference now that I'm out of the official quarantine period is that I can go to the shops now. So I kind of gloved up and went to junk stores the other day. And that was the first time I was kind of out in public. But it's good to see everyone acting as cautious. I mean, in my eyes, you know, I'm kind of like hoping that everyone is putting in the same effort, because realistically, that's what we all need.
So you're there, you have a pal with you, so you're not completely on your own, but you started to find, like many of us, that your phone usage was increasing. Now, I know staying informed is really important. Human connection is really important, and a lot of us are using apps we didn't even know existed. So phone use has gone up in that way, but some of it can be a bit of a waste of our time. And you and your pal, Sinead, decided to go 24 hours with no phone.
Yeah. I mean, we both work from our phones and, you know, we're spending a lot more time talking to people through FaceTime and all that. But we also luckily have, I mean, me especially, I have a lot of work to do, which is great. You know, there's still people signing up to online coaching. And I still felt like I was being quite distracted with my phone. So, I mean, I've done it before and I knew the benefits of 24 hours without it. So we both just at 7 o'clock handed each other the phones, turned them off. But I still had emails, so like I was still able to do some work, and I still had like meetings on with my team on Google Hangouts and stuff. So it wasn't like I was completely out of touch, but
no mindless scrolling.
I wasn't reaching for it. And you know, like 24 hours without watching the news is perfectly fine. You know, I don't think things are changing as rapidly, you know, like that I would need to be checking it up on the hour. It was actually quite, I got so much done. We went for a walk and we were able to just like chat to each other. We both, you know, we love having deep conversations about everything. So I mean it's easily done. It's funny how often you reach for it, you know, like I'm making my breakfast, taking my phone out, like didn't, you know, like I was gonna take a picture of my breakfast and I realized that actually no one really needs to see that. And it does kind of make you reflect on how much you use your phone unnecessarily. And even when we turned them back on at 7 o'clock, and, you know, it might have taken like maybe 10, 15 minutes to go through messages and stuff that we missed, but there was never actually anything urgent.
Yeah.
So, and it's made me realize that, you know, especially during the morning, like my morning routine is really important to me. So I like to make sure that every half an hour is kind of planned. And it's funny how you can lose a half an hour easily when even, you know, you're just checking your phone for a few minutes. All of a sudden you're, you know, a couple of pages deep in your auntie's ex-husband's nephew's page. You know?
We have all been there. And I mean, nobody is suggesting getting rid of phones altogether or that you'd have to go away from them for 24 hours. But turning them off every now and then, it is okay. It you don't miss anything. The world doesn't end, even with everything that's going on. I'm also interested in how you plan out your day, because you're used to working from home. That is the nature of your business. Now, obviously, you get to fly out here and there, and it's a bit different in that sense. But you work in 25-minute blocks with a five-minute break. Do you always do that?
I mean, I try to, but I'm not on my phone. So I think it's quite an efficient way for me to work, because I have so many little tasks to be done and also big projects to work on. So sometimes if I get stuck into a big project, the little tasks just get pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. I try and plan my day in half. I have my to-do list and I give everything 30 minutes work. Not that everything only needs 30 minutes, but I think by working for 25 minutes and then resting for five, I force myself to rest, even if I'm really in the flow of something. And I make sure that I just get up and walk away from the laptop for 5 minutes. And it actually means that I work kind of, I try and squeeze as much as I can into those 25 minutes rather than thinking, stretch it out. And I only do it, like, say, for the first half of the day. And then I realize that I get so much done that I give myself the freedom to do whatever I want and for the rest of the day. So if I want to sit in my phone for an hour, I can. If I want to just do nothing, I can, because I've gotten so much done in the first half of the day.
Yeah, and write the lists and tick the things off. So do you think after the 24 hours you'll make any long-term changes to your phone use?
As soon as I did the 24 hours, I was like, right, that's it. I'm not going to touch my phone until 2 o'clock in the day every day. But then, like, I'd be doing my morning routine and I'm reading a book and I'm like, oh my God, I have to share this one with the world, even though I could just leave it until later in the day. But what I'm going to do is actually just stay off Instagram until 2 o'clock. So if I really feel like, if I'm taking pictures of stuff and I really feel like I need to share it, I'll do it at 2 o'clock. And it's funny because then sometimes you realize that, okay, maybe I didn't need to share that this morning. Like something that you thought was interesting isn't actually interesting by 2 o'clock. So it actually kind of makes you reassess what you're going to share. Because the thing is, everything, people are quite active online at the moment. So I'm getting so many messages and comments and questions, and it's hard to keep up. So I think I should try and at least turn off Instagram until 2 o'clock a day. And there's apps that you can use to do that. You can either reduce your, or you can set a screen time lock if you're on the iPhone. I think there's an app called Focus Lock that also will lock any apps that you don't want to use for a certain amount of time.
I don't know. I tried that and it just started to make me feel bad about myself. But yes, I do think you're better. Ignorance is bliss, as they say. Well, look, I would really recommend, if you're listening, signing up to Siobhan's newsletter. There's always something interesting for you to ponder on. There's book recommendations. So you'll find out more at ohfitness.ie, or she's Siv O'Hagan on Instagram. But don't go to her till 2 o'clock. Siobhan O'Hagan, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me, Claire.
Mind yourself. Take care. So that's it for this week. My thanks as ever to my producer, John Fardy, and to you for listening. Please stay home as much as possible. Mind yourself and each other. And even though it's a strange one, I hope you have a lovely Easter. I'll see you next week.